Hello, Tempest fans. I am the Midnight Host, and I want to invite you to join me every Friday as I enjoy a new horror short story. For fans of The Twilight Zone, Tales from the Crypt, and Creep Show, Don't Fall Asleep is a podcast and YouTube channel featuring modern and classic horror stories. Narrated by Spencer Dillehay, the narrator for Tempest Investigations. Find us on YouTube and in podcast form. Search Don't Fall Asleep Channel on YouTube and Don't Fall Asleep Podcast in Google or your player of choice. Whatever you do, have a pint of Bob's Tail Ale before you go, and don't fall asleep.
Part 4. Maurice leaned back in the chair while listening to the report from the two vampires who had been assigned to watch over Jim Corrigan's house. He wasn't seated behind the desk. Diego had his own chair there, and he insisted on at least keeping that appearance up, but there was no mistake to whom the report was being given. Maurice folded his hands behind his neck, stretched his legs, and smiled.
"So, he lives there with the woman, you said?"
"No, sir,"
the vampire shook his head.
"We don't think she lives there. She left this morning and went to Convergence Club. Looks like she's staying there."
"And Convergence Club is..."
Maurice said, gesturing with his hand held out, palm up, encouraging the vampire to continue.
"A place in town for supernaturals to meet, sir. It's sort of a haven where no attacks are allowed. Order of the owner."
He hesitated.
"Lots of different kinds of people come there. It's quite nice, and they have happy hour every day."
"I see. How about his staff?"
"We'll follow them home later. So far, we've seen 3 people."
He took a cell phone from his pocket, turned it on, and handed it to Maurice.
"The man with blonde hair, the Hispanic black-haired young woman, and then this boy, who we saw the immortal pick up this morning. We don't know if he works for him or is some sort of private friend."
Maurice looked at the pictures.
"And do you have names on these people? Any information?"
"The blonde man used to be an FBI agent. His name's Andrew Picard. The woman we're more unsure of. We think she might be called Mercedes Perez. Richie found a driver's license application in the database. The boy is an Australian exchange student. We called the university and confirmed. He's called Matthew Boyle. We tried getting more info on the last woman, Miss Weston, we think her name is. But we can't find anything on her. No first name either. Maybe she's using an alias. We'll try to find out more, but as long as she doesn't come back to the house, we considered her a lower priority."
"Excellent work, Alejandro."
Maurice scratched his chin.
"And do any of the others have any supernatural powers that you know of? Immortality, wings, maybe a lightning bolt up their sleeve?"
"Not that we can tell, but as I said, we can't identify the last woman. She could be anything. In fact, Clark said the closest he could get was some actress involved in a strange sort of commercial filmed in Las Vegas a few weeks ago. Apparently, it caused quite a lot of collateral damage."
Maurice rubbed his chin.
"Okay. Keep an eye on the others, but send a group of the best killers to Dispatch of the Immortal tonight. From what I heard from the lucky vampire who confronted him the other day and lived to tell the tale, he claims he can't be turned, so don't bother trying. Just kill him."
"If he's immortal, how exactly..."
Maurice raised his voice to drown the others out.
"Just rip his head off if you have to. Tear him limb from limb. Paint the walls with his blood. How hard can it be? It can't be harder than killing one of us."
"Yes, sir."
The vampire made a half bow, then turned and bowed a little deeper for Diego.
"Lord Regent."
He turned and left the room in a hurry.
"You're playing a dangerous game,"
Diego said, when the door to the office had closed behind the vampire.
I've heard stories about Mr. Corrigan. Lamort apparently valued him rather highly, seeing how he allowed him to hunt people who broke the law.
People like us, you mean? Maurice smiled. Remember, now we are the law. Besides, there's a huge difference between killing a single, frightened vampire on the run and facing a group of trained assassins.
I hope you're right, Diego replied. I'm just a little worried about this. We have done everything by the book so far. We challenged Lamort according to his own rules. We took control as per those rules. And right now, it seems like our new subjects are enjoying the freedom they have been given. But that might just be because it's fresh and new. What if we rock the boat too much? When the election comes, what should we do if they vote us out and reinstate Lamort?
Maurice took a deep breath and looked up into the ceiling.
If that happens, we have two choices.
And those are?
Run or fight.
Maurice looked at Diego, and his eyes burned like two pieces of coal.
And I'm a little tired of running. I've been doing it for hundreds of years. This is our stand, for better or worse, mon ami. If we fail, we will make sure no one lives to enjoy their victory.
He got up from his chair.
But enough of this. I'm tired of talking. Let's go to the bedroom.
Diego got up from his chair, wondering as he walked toward the bedroom if there were any other way out of this situation. If there was, he couldn't see it. Rhea had sat down at the counter of Convergence Club with one of Bob's expertly mixed screwdrivers in her hand when the bartender's cell phone went off. She couldn't help but smile at the ringtone, which was the opening notes of the Rolling Stones' Sympathy for the Devil. Bob looked a little sheepish, but answered it.
Hello?
He listened, then smiled a wide smile.
He did? Excellent! Thank you so much, Andrew. I owe you one. No, hell, I owe you five. Come by any time. Okay. Thanks ever so much. No, I'd better clear the line in case he calls.
He hung up.
Good news?
Rhea asked.
The best.
Bob leaned conspiratorially over the counter, even though they were currently alone in the bar. It was a little early for drinking, and as Rhea lifted the glass to her lips, she felt a little odd.
Still, it's always 5 o'clock somewhere in the world, she thought.
I've just had Andrew deliver a very important message for me, Bob said. There's this person I've been working up the courage to go on a date with, but I didn't really have the guts to ask. Now Andrew has asked for me.
Rhea smiled.
That's sort of cute. Old-fashioned, but cute. I'm an old-fashioned kind of guy. Plus, I didn't want to scare anyone off with...
He gestured to his horns and tail. You know.
Come on. This is San Francisco, the city of tolerance.
Actually, I think that's Lisbon.
Bob grinned.
But I get what you mean. I'm just a little insecure about it, that's all. Well, I hope he calls you back then. In the meantime, I was wondering if we could talk business for a moment. I was hoping it would be possible for me to get my room back, with the caveat that I might not spend every night there.
Bob's smile widened.
Sure, of course it is. Price is the same as before, no matter if you sleep in it or not. Good. Plus, I don't think I even actually packed my things when I left. Nope, I packed them all up for you. Everything's in a suitcase in the closet in there. You can move in straight away. I'm glad to see you back, though. Jim told me you had some major thinking to do. I suppose. Not much got done, though. It's more like I needed to get some perspective. Clear my head. Which, by the way, meant getting pretty much drunk constantly, so that didn't really do much. And? Have you found the perspective you were looking for?
Bob said. His tail curled around the handle of the club's soda machine, poured himself a glass, and brought it up to his hand without his eyes leaving hers.
I think so. I at least found out that I wasn't about to go full-on Voldemort and kill everyone.
Oh, much appreciated.
Very funny. I was really scared of what my powers could do, but when Huyana brought me into the spirit world to help the others, I had control over them. I didn't kill. That's what I was most worried about.
Jim seems to think that means I've made at least something close to a decision about how I want to use the powers.
I'd say he was right. You've never struck me as a stone-cold killer, Rhea. You're far too nice for that. But I'm also glad you're back, on Jim's behalf. He's been missing you like you wouldn't believe.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
No, I believe it. I missed him, too.
What you guys have, Bob said, taking a sip from his glass,
is something special. Something real. Something that the rest of us only dream of. Don't squander that because you're scared of something inside yourself. In fact, with his help, maybe you can get even better at controlling it. He does know a thing or two about strange powers.
You're right as always. Rhea clinked her glass against his.
Perks of the job. A bartender has to know everything. Otherwise, the customers might surprise me one day. And we can't have that.
They both drank with a smile on their faces. Mercedes worked in an irregular rhythm. She would type for a few minutes, then get distracted and go back on a wedding site or to the document where she was writing down the guests she wanted to invite. It was hard to keep focus, and every time she gritted her teeth and told herself that now she had to concentrate on work, her mind would wander again, and she would find herself back on some website for cake makers, dressmakers, or hotels offering deals. When her cell phone rang, it was actually a welcome distraction. She answered it.
Hello?
I found the perfect place.
Charlie's voice sounded happy.
I know this is supposed to be the bride's thing to do, but I've got a wonderful spot. It was one of my bosses who told me about it.
What is it?
Look up Fay Park. It's a great little place on Leavenworth, close to Lombard Street and overlooking the bay. It's private, intimate, and beautiful. More to the point, it's available in 9 days.
9 days?
Mercedes got to her feet and slowly paced the lobby.
Are you kidding me? I know we said soon, but how am I supposed to plan a wedding in 9 days?
Just take a look at it and tell me it's not perfect.
Mercedes walked back to her desk, put her phone on her shoulder, holding it in place as she looked up the park.
I see some small gazebos and flowers. Is that what you're talking about?
Exactly. It's this tiny little park in the middle of the city, with gazebos and a little stage and a fence cordoning it off. It's super private, looks amazing, and best of all, we can close the gate and not have people wander in. The 9 days thing, well, this isn't available again until October. My boss, who told me about it, actually had it booked but is going to cancel it since apparently his daughter wanted to fly to Florida and get married all of a sudden. It's a chance of a lifetime, and I'm sure we can drum the people together in 9 days. Come on, what do you say?
Mercedes felt her heart thump faster as she looked at the pictures.
It did look amazing. I say, okay, let's do it in 9 days. If I can make my family come, that is.
She took hold of the phone again. So, since he's giving us his time slot, I take it you already told your boss?
I did. Didn't you?
Yeah, I did. She smiled. But he's also my friend. It's a bit different.
Mr. Walpole isn't my friend as such, but he's a good guy to have in your corner. I don't think he'll show up to the ceremony, though. It's not his style. But like I said, it was just too good to be true, and I had to call you. Oh, I'm so glad you like it.
I'm happy, too. I think I'm already a little bit in love with it.
And Mercedes? His voice got warmer. I love you.
Love you, too.
She felt a warm bubble inside her stomach, like she had swallowed something hot.
I've got to work, though.
Okay, I really should get back to work, too. It's just hard to concentrate. Let me know about your family as soon as you can. See you later, then.
Bye.
She hung up and turned to her computer, looking closer at the pictures from the park. The more she looked, the more she agreed with Charlie. It was a beautiful spot, and the little gazebos would make a perfect background for a wedding photograph. It was a perfect spot. But 9 days? She would have to get moving right away.
As the day went on, and Jim and Matt didn't check in, she had plenty of time to send emails to her parents, siblings, and other family members if they would be able to make it to San Francisco on such short notice. Several of her more distant cousins answered they couldn't, but when she got a positive response from her parents, two younger sisters, and several aunts, including Connie, she felt confident enough that she could send a text to Charlie.
Love it. Book it. Love you, XOXOXO.
It was returned with just a thumbs up, a heart, and a happy smiley. She went back to her computer, and when Andrew walked through the door at 3 p.m., she handed him a printed card.
Here you go. You are cordially invited.
Andrew looked at the card, his eyebrows climbing up over his forehead.
You're kidding me. Really? You guys are... Oh, that's amazing, Mercedes.
He lifted her out of her desk chair in a bear hug, swinging her around the room, accompanied by her giggles.
This is incredible! After you guys almost broke up last week, and now... What happened?
Lots of things happened. Most importantly, I think we both really examined what it was we wanted and what we would sacrifice for it.
So, you're going to New York?
No, that's the best part. Charlie turned the promotion down. We're staying here, right where we belong.
Andrew's smile reached from ear to ear, and he hadn't felt this good since before Feline died.
Oh, I'm just so happy for you. Really, truly, I am.
So, I take it you'll be moving in with him?
Yes, at least for now. We might look around for a new place later on, you know, something that's ours and not just his. But right now, he's got plenty of space.
Not to mention, your place is kind of a dump. I mean, I like the mission, but...
Oh, I know. But with two incomes, hey, we've got a good basis to live anywhere in the city we want.
Andrew sat down on her desk, swinging one leg.
This must truly be the day of love.
I just got Bob a date, and now you're getting married. Where's Jim? I wouldn't be surprised if he came home and told us he and Rhea were getting engaged as well.
Jim's out on a job with Matt. The Bruce Mansion. Some boy vanished inside it.
Creepy. Do they need backup?
I don't know. They haven't checked in all day.
Huh.
Andrew went into Jim's office.
Well, in that case, I'll do something I've been wanting to do since Jim told me about it.
Could you show me the books for the company? I want to see how much money is actually in that foundation of his.
He told you about that, huh?
Mercedes got up and unlocked one of her filing cabinets, pulling out several accounting books.
Oh my God, he really has you keep actual books?
I thought you'd had him convinced to use an accounting program by now.
I do.
Mercedes put the books on the desk with a heavy sound.
But these I update all the time. I do the computer program update about once a month because it's easier for me when I do the taxes. But he likes these, so what the hell?
Fair point. Okay, I'll take a look at them. Andrew bent over the books, and Mercedes went back to the door, turned around, and looked at him.
Oh, Andrew?
Yeah?
I take it your hug meant you're coming to the wedding? If you want to bring a date, would you let me know?
Andrew looked at her.
A date? I think that's a bit early for me, honestly. The whole Feline thing is still very painful for me. I miss her pretty much all the time, so I wouldn't know who to invite.
Okay, I understand. Just let me know if you change your mind, okay?
She went back to her desk and left Andrew to the books.
Get your exterior painting to-dos done easily with Dutch Boy Pristine Exterior Paint. With its rain rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on pristine exterior paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money.